Hello, church. Hey, Pastor Dave here. So good to see you again this morning as we continue our services online. If you're new with us, we are so glad you're here. Actually, all this is new to every one of us, so we're in this together. We're looking forward to a great morning this morning. I'm going to share a few things, and then Missy, our children's ministry director, has a message directly for our children this morning, and then Pastor Aaron will continue the series on 2 Timothy. Our team is on the back end here. We would love to interact and comment back and just interact with you any way we can. So share out those comments. Maybe share what God is doing in your life in this time, or even how we could pray for you. Don't be afraid to share any of that stuff. We're hoping that you're choosing to live by faith and not by fear. I shared Matthew 11, a verse that just really encouraged my heart this last week, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little bit weary from being stuck inside and all these times and all that. Even my hair is getting a little bit long. But Jesus says we can come to him no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on. We can always come to him and he will find rest for our souls. Another verse, John 7:37-38. Jesus, it's the end of the festival. It's the last day. He stands up and he says in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." And he goes on to say that streams of living water will flow out of you. And I don't know about you this morning, church, but is anyone out there thirsty this morning, thirsty for Jesus? I absolutely believe each one of you are. I believe that's why you're here. And so we're just looking forward to a great morning. We just pray that God's Spirit just speaks right into your heart and your soul this morning. Hey, I have a few quick things. If you shoot over to open a new tab and go to eastswamp.org/next, that's a key link this morning, especially if you're new here with us. The first card, the next step card, is the first link over there. If you put a name and an email on there, it'll connect you into our communication and how we can best serve you as a family. All right, if you have children or students in your family, choose the children's ministry little link. The little box or the student ministry box over there, and that'll connect you into that specific communication as well. The second link is our coronavirus update. It's how we're responding. And as you know, probably know already, that we're following the governor's advice and staying closed through April 6th. That takes us right through Palm Sunday. And just so you know, as a team, we are planning to be online right through Easter at this point. So our team has been working hard behind the scenes and we had to choose something. So that's what we're doing right now. Who knows? It could change at any moment. But if you go to the registrations tab, the next tab over there at eastswamp.org/next, that has our Easter information. So we're doing one service Easter morning at 9 a.m. and we'll be communicating more about that. I'm really excited about the Easter offering. That is over there as well. 100% of our Easter offering is going to go to support young families in need in our church and in our community. So we're going to support families impacted by the coronavirus pandemic, and we're also going to support families trying to send their children and their students to summer camp. So all the information is over there, but our goal is to raise $18,000 this year and just ask you prayerfully consider being a part of it. Now, some of you might think, hey, that's crazy, especially with my current situation. Maybe I lost my job or whatever's going on. Hey, we totally understand, and that's exactly why we're doing this offering. We know that others are in a position where they can be generous. And we as a church just want to be generous and follow the generosity of Jesus and just do that in this year, in this season, this Easter. So we invite those that can to join us and we totally understand if you can. The fourth link over there is the eSwamp Kids newsletter. Parents, you are two clicks away from incredible resources, a notes page that your a kid's notes page that they can use this morning, right during this service. You can print it out quick. And then there's also resources for this week that'll be refreshed every week. It's new resources every week for you and your family to do there at home. So it's great stuff. And actually, we're going to shoot off over to Missy's house now, our children's ministry director. Kids, are you gathered around? Are you ready for this? All right, coming in live. From Missy. Here you go.
Good morning, everyone. I sure do miss seeing your faces in person, but isn't technology awesome that we get to spend a few minutes together this morning, right from my living room? What have you all been up to keep busy these last couple of weeks? My family, my three teenagers in particular, have been keeping us very busy. In a second, I'm going to show you a clip of us playing Just Dance the other day just to get some exercise. And the other night, my two daughters, Mickey and Jaden, they planned an art night for us where they became our art instructors and everyone in the family painted a different picture. I can't wait to come back to the church office and hang mine up as soon as we're allowed to be together again. Right now, I'd love you to comment in and tell me what new things you've been doing with your family to pass the time. Maybe you'll give some great ideas to everyone else out there. Okay, right now, I really want to talk to the kids just for a bit. But parents, don't leave, especially because there's Chick-fil-A on the line. I am going to have a little guessing game for your kids, but they might need your help to put their answers in the comments section. All right, kids. Hi, guys. Can anyone out there guess my favorite animal? If you have a guess, have your parents help you type it in the comment section. But parents, please let the kids guess. Go ahead, try to guess my favorite animal, and you can guess as many times as you want. Only the first correct answer is going to win the Chick-fil-A gift card. Okay, I will give some hints later, so keep on listening. When I was a kid, probably 7 or 8 years old, I traveled to Walt Disney World with my family and a large group of us from my church. There was probably 20 or 30 of us all together. One day, we went to this zoological park called Discovery Island. It was a really neat nature trail with these large like net enclosures for birds. I remember on a beach park, there were these giant tortoises I'll never forget. And then we came to an area with my favorite animal. So in case you haven't guessed it yet, what's some hints that I can give? First of all, these animals are not cuddly. And in case no one's got it yet, it starts with the letter A. And your last hint, a lot of people like to say this phrase, see you later. Alligator, right. Okay, I'll check out and see who my winner is later, but hopefully a bunch of you got that. Okay, so when I got to the part where the alligators were, there was a whole bunch of them sunning themselves on the bank of this pond. And they were huge dinosaur-like creatures that were really still. Their mouths were open and their eyes were open. They weren't blinking or moving. And I was fascinated. I could not stop staring at them. They were mesmerizing. And I really wanted to catch one of them moving or blinking or snapping their jaws together. So I just stared and stared and stared. And I guess I stared for a really long time, because the next thing I knew, my mom and dad came running up and they were like annoyed and worried and so relieved to find me. You see, I didn't know it, but the whole group had moved on. They'd finished the trail. They'd gone back to the boat dock, and they had all started boarding the boat to leave the park when they finally realized I wasn't with them. Now, I wasn't scared. I was doing exactly what I wanted to be, where I wanted to be, and I was happy. But I didn't know that they were missing me, and I hadn't meant to worry them. Now, why am I telling you this story? Well, the lesson you would have learned today in Children's Church is very similar to that. The Gospels. Now, do you remember the Gospels? The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us a couple of glimpses into Jesus's life as a child. One of them was the story you learned last week when Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. That was in Luke chapter 2. Another glimpse that we have is in the book of Matthew when the wise men came to visit Jesus. Now, you all know that as part of the Christmas story, but believe it or not, that actually happened when Jesus was 1 or 2 years old. Now, the next thing we learn about Jesus as a child happens at a time called Passover. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate this important holiday, Passover. Now, Jesus was probably about 12 at this time, and Joseph would have led him around the city, explaining the significance of the temple and the holiday. After they celebrated Passover, Mary and Joseph and their large group of friends and family started traveling back home. Now, Jesus wasn't with Mary and Joseph, but they just figured he was with one of the other friends or family members. And it wasn't until a full day of travel had passed that they realized Jesus wasn't with them. Can you imagine how they felt? Do you think they were worried or scared? So they hurried back to Jerusalem, worried, scared, looking for Jesus. Think about that. Did you ever lose something important to you? Maybe a favorite toy? A pet that got out for a few minutes or hours? How did you feel? And how did you feel when you found it? Were you so happy and joyful? After Mary and Joseph hurried back, they looked for Jesus throughout the city. Where was he? What was he doing? If you want to hear the rest of this story, ask your parents to check out my East Swamp Kids e-newsletter that they get each week. If they're not sure how to find it, Pastor Dave's going to come back on in just a moment and explain exactly what they need to do to find it. It's super easy. In there is everything you need to hear the rest of this story, the Bible lesson videos, activity pages that you can either do later today or even anytime this week. Okay, kids, I need to go and read through your comments and find out who my winner was. As soon as I know, I will contact you and I will drop that gift card in the mail so you can enjoy your Chick-fil-A. Please know that I miss you. I love you. I hope you have a great week and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Missy. That was awesome. Kids, I hope you enjoyed that as well. We'd actually love to hear from you. Post something in the comments and tell us what you thought. And huge congrats to the winning family there. That is really cool. Parents, remember, if you're at eastswamp.org/next, you are two clicks away from awesome resources. So there's resources for during the service right here, right this moment, and then also resources for this week. We certainly hope you check that out. The last thing I have is giving. You might hear my dog in the background going for it, but we're going to talk about giving here real quick. Thank you for your continued generosity at this time. It's been a unique season, but you guys have been responding. Week one was a little rough for us, won't lie, but week two, it's gaining momentum, and we lost our cushion, but we're holding tight. And I want to say what has been carrying us is that 60%, roughly 60% of our offering was already set up and coming online through online giving. So that has just been a huge blessing for us as a church at this time. And then also, we actually, in this month, we had 6 new families join online giving. So we just thank you so much for your generosity in that sense. Some people have been asking us how to do it. And if that's not you, that's cool. But if it is you, and if you're not in a position to give at this point, that's totally fine too. Especially if you're new here. Man, please don't feel any obligation to give. We're just so glad that you're here. But if you are wondering how, I just wanted to briefly walk through how to do that. If you're at eastswamp.org/next and you scroll down there, you see the giving link. If you press on giving, that'll take you over to our website. And our website provides a little bit of information about why we give. And then it provides a section that says 5 ways to give. You can give in person, typically. You can give online. You can automate your giving. You can mail it or you can text give. All right, I was going to choose the online giving this morning. If you press that, it goes over to Planning Center. That's our giving service. If you already have an account, you'll be logged right in. If you don't, you can just be start an account. It's safe and secure. You don't have to worry about that. You just put in an amount, choose the fund that you're going to give it to. It's on the general fund, or you can choose the Easter offering. And then the frequency, and you add your name and your email, and you just submit that in. It really is that simple. And honestly, anyone who's in Planning Center, our students, our families, know that you're set up, that you can join our giving family at any time. God loves your generosity, and we thank you for your generosity. If you have any questions, feel free to call the church or email the church. We'll be glad to help you. Well, that's it for me. I'm going to pray, then we're going to hear from Pastor Aaron, and then I'll be back to close up at the end. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we are thirsty for you this morning. So please just speak to our hearts and just bless each one that's here today. Speak right into the families and right into the homes and everyone that's gathered around the screens right now, God. Just may your spirit work as only it can do in our hearts and in our minds. So we love you, Lord. We give the rest of this service to you, and we trust that you're going to show up in our lives in very real ways in this moment today and in the moments of this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning, church. Here we are again, you sitting in your living room and me in this empty worship center. It's weird. I know it's not ideal, but we're going to make it work. I want you to know that even though we are have been apart like this, that you are being prayed for, and we want to know what's going on in your lives. So please make sure you check in with us. Let us know how we can better serve you and pray for you as we walk through this really crazy time of life. I mentioned last week that in the craziness of all that was going on, I was really wrestling with what do we do with the preaching schedule? Do we continue to walk through the book of 2 Timothy? I realize that some of you jumped in to this series when we went online just a few weeks ago. But really, we've been working through 2 Timothy for 9 weeks now, really. And some of you are probably thinking, well, I wonder why Aaron didn't go in another direction with all that's taking place. And really, I landed on the fact that God, in his providence, knew what was going on and knew what we were studying, and that he'd continue to speak to us through this passage, through what Paul was saying to Timothy. And it's really interesting if you think about the context of Paul writing to Timothy, because some people are probably thinking, what does God really have to say to us through the words of Paul in this time of life? Like, does Paul really have any idea what we are currently walking through? And if that's a question that you're asking, I'm glad you asked, because it brings us back to a little refresher course on the context of this letter that Paul has written to Timothy. When Paul writes these words to Timothy, we can almost think of it as one man quarantined writing to us, a church quarantined. Paul knew exactly what we are experiencing now, even to a greater level. When Paul writes his words, these words here, and many of the other words we find in the New Testament, most of them he is either on lockdown in a house or he's sitting in prison. That's the context of this letter to Timothy. As Paul is writing this, he is sitting in Mamertine prison, one of the nastiest, most vile prisons in Rome, a hole in the ground with a little hole above for light. This is where he sits and writes these words to Timothy. So does Paul know what's going on in our lives? Yeah, he's experienced it. Whenever we start to question how Scripture speaks into our lives today, be reminded that those who have gone before us have experienced moments like this. And in them, people like Paul were able to write things like, be joyful always, always give thanks. If Paul could say those words in the pit of a jail cell, then you and I can join with him from the comfort of our homes. Whenever you start to question how Jesus can speak into our current situations, remember that he too has gone through one of the greatest of quarantines. One which through great suffering he quarantined himself, separated himself from the Father. He took on all of our sin on his shoulders, bearing the punishment that you and I deserve so that we might never be separated from the love of Jesus, not even in death. If you're joining us this morning and you're on the fence about following Jesus, please know that he is more than worthy of being followed. And in following him by believing in your hearts and confessing with your mouth that he is Lord, that he has come from heaven to earth, died on the cross for your sins, and rose again victorious over it so that we can have life. In following him, we find that satisfaction and fulfillment that our souls have longed for our whole lives. A satisfaction that can't be met by anything else in this world. If you're tuning in this morning and you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus or what it looks like to start a relationship with him, I beg you to drop us a message to let us know so that we can start that conversation with you so that you too might find life both now and forever in Jesus. Now, as I said, we've been studying 2 Timothy for 9 weeks now. And the crux of the message that Paul is writing to Timothy is, Timothy, you need to protect and promote the message of the gospel. That message that we just talked about Jesus coming and dying on the cross. Timothy, you need to protect that message and you need to continue to tell people about it. And the call for us as a church was the same. Church, we need to protect the message of the gospel and we need to promote it as far and as wide as we can. Now, last week we found out that in order to be able to do this, we must be discerning about what and who we follow. Paul gives us a picture of some of the false teachers that were going to slip into the church and try to lead people astray. They were going to come into the church and they were going to get people to follow them. And Paul said, at the pit of them, in their hearts, they were simply lovers of self. If you go back and read verses 1 through 9 of chapter 3, you're going to find some really ugly attributes listed of these people. Unfortunately, it may be true that we too have taken on some of these attributes. Maybe because we've started following the wrong people. Last week we talked about how this time of quarantine has been like a big pause button pressed on our lives. And in reality, this could be of great benefit to us. A grace from God. Now sure, this time is really painful for a lot. I realize that many have lost their jobs. Some of us, we're fearing things that we've never feared before. Some are growing incredibly lonely in their homes as they've been separated from loved ones and friends and coworkers. But in all the silence that comes along with this pause, we're forced to really figure out, what are we living for? We're forced to stop and look at who we've been following, to see what's really in our hearts, what we really believe. And I would imagine all of this has most likely been spilling out of us over these last few days. It's been spilling out in our words and our attitudes and our actions. And we're starting to reveal, it's starting to become really clear who we have been following up to this point. When I hear that word follow, I think instantly of social media. If you're like me, you spent a lot of time on social media these last few weeks, right? As if we didn't do that enough already. I mean, look at us now, we're meeting for church on social media. But as you spend more time on social media, you start to realize that there are some people on social media that you don't care to see or hear from. On more than one occasion over this last few weeks, I have had to unfollow people that I once followed. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the concept, unfollow means you press a button and you don't see or hear from them anymore in your social media. I've done this to a number of people over the last few weeks, whether they were people that were just getting me like amped up and anxious with their virus updates. Some were starting heated political debates that I didn't care to see. Others were just being obnoxious or vulgar or just an annoyance. And so what do? I don't care to see what they have to say anymore. It does me no good, so I unfollow them. And I thought maybe this would be a good practice for us to carry over into more than just social media, but into our lives. Who is it that we are following that we should not be? Paul's going to talk about following today. And he's going to use the word follow, which carries with it the meaning of one who's studying within close quarters. We need to start addressing the fact that many of us have been studying within close quarters things that we ought not. People who lead us to grow in our love for self. We pump our heads, our minds, and our hearts full of things, whether it be in movies, in TV shows, in music, and just people that we've allowed to speak into our lives who are leading us in a direction that we don't want to go. The fact of the matter is, you will start to look like those people who you associate with. You will start to look like those who you follow. If we follow the ungodly, we will begin to look like ungodly people. If we follow the arrogant, we too will begin to look and take on a sense of arrogance. The closer we study, the closer we become to looking like those we're following. Now listen, you and I have the freedom to follow whoever we want. To become whoever we want. But we must be aware of where this leads. The Bible says that it leads to destruction. You join in with that crowd that has just become lovers of self and snowballed into this ungodly mess of attributes. Listen, you have the freedom to join in with that crowd and follow them. But be aware that it leads to destruction. This is what Paul said last week. He gave us the picture of Giannis and Jambres, the two guys who brought out their snakes, right? In that story there in Exodus. And the snake, powered by God and sourced by God, goes and swallows up the fakes. In a picture of what happens to those who live lives of ungodliness and yet sit amongst us in the church. Lovers of self leads to destruction. Paul's going to say something similar this morning. He's going to say those lovers of self, those evil people, those imposters, they will go from bad to worse. That road leads to destruction. Now, if you find yourself this morning sitting there in your living room, aware of the fact that you have followed such people, take heart. God has allowed, in his grace, he has allowed you in this moment to make a move. I would imagine there are a number of us right now sitting at this fork in the road. And we've been given an option to continue on in our love for self and spiral down in the ways of the world. Or, Paul says, we can start to walk on a different path. Paul's going to describe for us this morning what it would look like for us to walk a different path, to not follow those false teachers who are instilling in us a love for self, but rather what it would look like to follow those who are passionately pursuing Jesus. Paul's going to say to Timothy this morning, Timothy, you've chosen the right way. While there are those false teachers that you can follow, you've decided to follow me as I follow Jesus. And the call for us this morning is to find those people like Paul who we can follow down that different path that will lead us on paths of righteousness, that will allow us to look more like Jesus, that will allow us to experience what it means to have abundance of life now, a life that points others to Jesus, a life that in the end will result in an incredible rescue effort for Jesus to take us here to our real home with him in heaven. I want you to join with me as we read Paul's words to Timothy this morning. We're going to be looking at 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 13. And I want you to open up your Bibles if you have them. Open up your Bible app. I want you to see that these are God's words. These are not Aaron's words. And we're told in the very next passage that we're going to read next week that every single bit of what we read in God's word is useful to us for correcting us, for teaching us, for training us in righteousness. And so I think that God is going to do just that this morning. Read along with me 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 13. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul says, listen, there are two ways that you can go. There's two groups of people that you can follow. There are the false teachers, and to follow them goes from bad to worse, and you will be deceived by them, or you can walk a different path. This morning, Paul is going to give us an example of the kind of people that we are to follow, the kind of people that in turn we should be. And the first thing that we see Paul says here is he says, Timothy, you have followed me in my teaching. This teaching was of utmost importance to Paul's life. What was it that Paul was teaching? He was teaching the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that we can have life both now and forever in Jesus. His teaching was always on point in that we find joy, we find peace, we find hope, we find satisfaction and salvation in Jesus alone. This was Paul's teaching. This is what Timothy was following him in. This is what we too should be following Paul in. In times like these, when everything else is stripped away, we desperately need to hold to the teachings of Paul, teachings that point us directly to Jesus. A statement that I've continued to make to myself, to speak into my anxious thoughts daily is this: the best medicine for an anxious heart is good theology. In other words, a right knowledge of God is what will carry you through difficult circumstances like the ones we are experiencing right now. It was Paul's understanding of the gospel that carried him through his suffering-filled life. Nothing else will do. Now, that's not to say we don't try to medicate with other things, to medicate our anxious hearts. We do that with all sorts of things. Sometimes we just simply do it with positive thoughts. I was so disappointed this week to see an inspirational post put up on Facebook by a local community group. It was 9 sayings that were supposed to help followers stay positive and focused on what is important. Some of the thoughts that they shared, these were 3 of my favorites. Think positive and positive things will happen. Another one. It doesn't get easier, but you get better. And then my favorite one of all. Believe in yourself. Let me tell you how well those statements bode for me. If I am left to shoddy thoughts like believe in yourself, I am toast. I know what I am capable of, and it's not going to help me in moments like this. Positive thoughts, oftentimes positive thoughts do not give way to positive results. What do we do when these inspirational thoughts break down? We do what we've been saying all along. We get in God's word. We've been talking about this long before all this COVID-19 went down. That our hope was found in the words of Scripture. That these were the words for our anxious hearts. Now listen, the fact is that Paul is very blunt in his speaking. Jesus is very straightforward in Scripture. We will suffer and experience difficulty. If we've been reading our Bibles, we are not shocked that we'll walk through moments of suffering. But how about instead of believe in yourself, we cling to some real truth from God's word, like, in this world you will have trouble. Thank you. It's been straight up. Yes, that explains what's going on. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I, the Lord your God, have overcome the world and will rescue you. The Bible teaches that our hope is not having our best life now, and I say that in the way of the prosperity gospel and health and wealth and prosperity. Our hope is not in that we are great and we can muscle our way through it if we just believe in ourselves. No. Our hope is in the fact that we can have life now to the fullest, and a life experience the fullness of joy for all eternity in heaven with Jesus. That's our hope. And we don't accomplish this by our own works. Rather, we experience it because of the grace of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. So if all of this is true, then who do we need to unfollow? Oh, we should definitely start with all those people giving us pithy little self-help statements in this moment. I think what you'll really find is they're more burdensome than they are freeing. Rather, follow people who will be promoting Jesus in your life. Those who will be constantly pointing you in the direction of the gospel. Start listening to other preachers preaching the gospel. I'm going to drop some of my favorite sermons in the comments below. I want you to click those links and listen to them later, or jot them down. What my family has been doing over these last few weeks, because we have more time as a family. We've been hopping in the car. We drive down to 309. We visit my boy Raj at Dunkin' Donuts, get some coffee, and then we drive around town and we pray and we listen to sermons. And I would encourage you to try to do this one or two times this week as well, with your family, by yourself, whatever it takes. Pump the truth of God's word into your head in any way possible. Follow people like Paul, people who are constantly teaching the truth of Scripture. And as you follow, do the same. Just as a side note, I was thinking of this. Think of the resources that Paul had at his disposal as he sat in his prison cell. It seems that he literally just had something to write with and to write on. And yet he was using the resources that he had, as little as they were, to continue to promote the gospel, to continue to encourage others in their efforts to promote the gospel. And that should lead us to ask the question, what do we have right now? What time? What resources do we have? How can we use them to be the kind of person that shows Jesus is worthy, that shows that Jesus is beautiful? Are we using our resources now to promote the teaching of the gospel? Is our life somehow reflecting someone who is following him? Paul goes on to say, but don't just follow me in my teaching. Also follow me in my conduct. Follow me in my way of living. Paul said, Timothy, you know what I taught, and you also saw that I lived accordingly. There was no gap in my teaching and my obedience. And I want you to follow in the same way. Follow in my conduct. Now listen, Paul, in saying this, was hiding nothing, okay? Because Timothy spent plenty of days with Paul, very close. And so if anyone were to see a gap in the teaching and the obedience in Paul's life, it would have been Timothy. Timothy would have been able to point those things out. Because when you are spending a good amount of time close to one another, you start to experience all the aspects of that person's behavior. So for Paul to say this, he was saying, listen, I have nothing to hide, Timothy. You've seen how I live. You've seen how I act. Live accordingly. When we spend a good amount of time in close proximity, we see how people live. We're experiencing that right now as we're in our homes 24/7 with our families. When we live in such a way, we see every aspect of one another's behavior. Some of it's great. Some of it's not so great. Some of it's just downright weird. Paul was saying, Timothy, you've watched my life. You can see that I'm doing my best to actually practice what I preach. He says, follow me in my conduct. Does the way we live line up with what we're saying? Do our deeds back up our doctrine? Are we preaching with our lives in such a way that others may believe what we profess from our lips because there's no gap in the teaching and the obedience? In Philippians, Paul says that you and I, we should live in such a way that we shine like stars in the midst of a crooked generation. In other words, our lives should be a living, breathing, walking commentary on what Scripture says. So what commentary did we write with our conduct this past week for our spouses, for our children, for our friends on social media? Paul says, follow me in my conduct. We're to follow people who preach the word of God and live accordingly. If you think, oh, I don't have anyone in my life to follow in that way, one greatly untapped resource of godly mentors to emulate can be readily found in the many excellent Christian biographies. We're going to drop a few names in the comments of people that you can look up and read their stories of how they wholeheartedly follow Jesus in the midst of difficulty. Be encouraged by them. Follow them. There's a really cool cartoon that's on Amazon Prime right now. If you have Prime Video, you can watch this with your kids. It's called The Torchlighters. And it's cartoon stories built around missionaries and people who have stuck true to God's word and following him in times of difficulty. Find these people in your life who preach both with their words and with their lives and start to follow them. And then seek to be the kind of person who does the same. Paul says, when you follow someone who preaches the truth of God's word and one who also obeys it. Then he goes on to say, Timothy, also follow my aim in life. And I want to camp out on this statement for a few minutes. Follow my aim in life. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on 2 Timothy, spells out what Paul is saying here. He says, Paul, in essence, is saying this: you have known my purpose, what I drive at, how far it is from any worldly, carnal, secular design, and how sincerely I aim at the glory of God and for the good of the souls of men. Paul knew what his life was about. Do you? I think this might be one of the greatest questions that people are wrestling with right now. As life as we know it has been stripped away, everything we thought life was suddenly has stopped. Now, for Paul, when this happened, when he was dropped in a cell, he was unshaken. How? Because his aim was much higher than anything that this world had to offer. A few weeks ago, when it was appropriate for us to gather in large gatherings, I was at my son's soccer tournament, and we were sitting there in the Quakertown High School in my old gym. And I was sitting next to my brother, and my brother pointed to the wall and said, "Hey, Aaron, are those the fire alarms that you used to aim at?" And when he said that, I laughed because it instantly took me back to phys ed class, my senior year of high school. We were in the part of the curriculum where we were learning archery. And I got really bored of aiming at the target. And so I decided to aim elsewhere, namely the fire alarm that was just up and to the left of the target. I thought, how exciting would that be if I hit it? We'd get out of class for a little bit. We just write it off as a big mistake, right? You shouldn't have put the target next to a fire alarm. Now, I never hit it, but I'll tell you what, I came a lot closer to that fire alarm than I ever did the bullseye of the target. Why? Because that's where I was aiming. If your aim is off, you will miss the target every single time. If your aim is off in your spiritual life, you will miss God's will, which is good and acceptable and perfect, that which is productive, not just of spiritual life, but life abundant. Some of us are struggling so much right now because our aim in life was so off. We were aiming for wealth. We were aiming for health and prosperity. We were aiming for power and climbing the ladder in social status and relationships and security and position. And all of these things have come crumbling down. And with it, our spirits. If Paul were to have hoped in any of these things, as soon as he was dropped in that prison cell, I don't think we would have ever heard another word from him. What is there left to live for? And yet, Paul made it very clear what his aim in life was. He said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He had one aim, and it was far above anything in this world. He had one aim, and that was to magnify Christ in the moment that he had, to live in such a way that he showed that Jesus was magnificent. I've been thinking a lot about that statement, to live is blank, and to die is blank. The way that we've lived to this point, would we fill that in differently, those blanks? I came up with a few that probably many of us have been living by. To live is to be popular, and to die is to lose my position in relationships. To live is to be rich, and to die is to lose all that I've worked for. To live is to have all my longings fulfilled, and to die is to suffer. If this is how we've been completing the statement, if this is where we've been aiming, not only will we be disappointed in the long run, but I bet we're experiencing disappointment even right now. Like, how's it going for you right now to have all your longings met as you are trapped in your home? Or how about popularity, social status? I read an article this week. The headline was, "Never have celebrities been so unentertaining. They offer us nothing at this moment." The popularity isn't really doing anything for anyone, and eventually it goes away, leaving them empty. Another article this week said that the number of millionaires in the United States has dropped by 500,000 people. Just like that, money disappears. If this is what you're aiming for, you might hit a target, but not the one you want. Rather, it'll be the fire alarm. It'll send panic up in your life when you realize you didn't get the results that you hoped for, or you simply find out how quickly all of those pursuits can be taken away. Rather, Paul says, my aim is this, Philippians 1, 21 through 22. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. In other words, whether you're walking crowded streets with people or quarantined to your home by yourself, whether you're leading a thriving business or leading your family, whatever life looks like right now, your aim should be to live for Christ, to make much of him with every breath you've got, to whatever audience you've got, even if it's just the angels looking in, watching how you're living. Paul says this aim in life leads to what he calls fruitful labor. And he goes on to spell out this fruitful labor to Timothy. He says this fruitful labor looks like a growing in faith. As you walk this way, as you aim towards Jesus, you grow in faith, trusting in every moment that God's promises are true and living accordingly. He says it means that you grow in patience. I love this word patience that shows up here in 2 Timothy. It comes from the word macrothumia, which means long emotion, or simply a person who has a long fuse, one who's not acting without thinking, one who is slow to speak, one who is being long and bearing with those around them. Listen, you can only have this long fuse when you're powered and sourced by the Spirit of God day after day with your kids and your spouse and the quietness of uncertainty. He says this fruit that is born out of us should grow us in love. Now, as we've noted before, there's plenty of words for love, and love can take on all sorts of connotations and meanings. The one word that we find here for love is agape love. This is the love that Jesus has for us. This is a love that is selfless and sacrificial. Tim Keller says, agape love says, my life for yours, when the world says, your life for mine. This fruitful labor that's born in us is one of agape love. And then he finishes this fruitful labor with the word steadfastness, translated elsewhere as perseverance. Perseverance means to abide under a trial or difficult circumstance in a way that honors God. How are we doing with this? Have we operated in such a way that honors God, or have we operated in a way that shows us to be lovers of self? Paul says, listen, start gravitating towards those in your life who have stuck to God's word in the midst of suffering. Follow them, and in following them, you will start to look like them. And then Paul finishes this list of fruitful labor in typical Paul fashion as he writes to Timothy, reminding them that in this too, we follow him into persecution. Listen, there is really no way around this for believers. Jesus said, hey, if they hated me, then they're going to hate you as my followers. When we stick to the message of the gospel, we become offensive to a world that wants to live however they so please. And when we start to live this way and talk this way, it will bring on persecution. But know this, Paul says, that whenever he experienced persecution, God rescued him every time. So he says, follow boldly. Now you might respond to that by saying, but didn't Paul die at the hands of his persecutors? Yeah, he did. And in that moment, Paul experienced his greatest rescue of all. Freed from the brokenness and pain of this world, and carried to the presence of his aim, his Savior, where he would experience fullness of joy forevermore. Church, we need to be careful who we follow. Paul says, follow those who speak truth, who back it up with their lives. Follow those who aim at Jesus, and it's seen by their fruitful labor. And when it gets difficult, cling to the promise that from it all the Lord rescued. Even when we take our last breath, death won't get the last laugh, because then too we will experience the greatest rescue as Jesus scoops us up and says, this one's mine. I'm taking him home. So church, let's cling to God's word this week. Let's be obedient to it. Let our aim be simply to please Jesus, and from that we will grow in our faith and our love and our patience and perseverance, even in the midst of the world seemingly crumbling down around us. If our lives are built on the bedrock of Jesus, we will not be shaken. Church, cling to Jesus this week. Find people like Paul that you can follow. Aim for Jesus with everything in you. And serve those around you. Be the hands and feet of Jesus so that they too might come to find life in him. We love you, church. We want to remind you to reach out to us at any point in time over these next few days and weeks. If you need anything, if you need us to pray, please don't hesitate to reach out. We love you, church, and we can't wait to be with you again. Take care.
Thanks, Pastor Aaron. That was an awesome encouragement to make sure we are following Jesus and following those who are following Jesus, especially in times like this. Very cool. Church, we hope you were encouraged and just really challenged in your walk with the Lord this week, and would encourage you to write a comment or interact with us. We would love to serve you in any way that we can. If you have any needs at this time, feel free to write that in through the Next Step card, instant message us. Again, you can put it in the comments if you're comfortable with that. We would love to pray with you, just to serve you and your family in any way that we can at this season. Hopefully you've been connecting with small groups. It's been so cool to see that happening on a student ministry level with students in our house here. So the high school ministry, you'll be doing your YouTube live event tonight at 7 o'clock again, and then breaking into your virtual small groups. Middle school students, that'll be this Wednesday, 7 o'clock, YouTube live, the East Swamp student YouTube channel. All right, make sure you check that out. Anyone can join into that. Students, if you haven't been a part of that in the past, you can join right in. Just log right in and enjoy that time. And instant message if you want to get connected into a small group. We'll be sure to do our best to get you connected in that way. Families, this might be a great time to do the giving too. If you open a new link and head over to eastswamp.org/next, or if you're there already, you can choose the giving link. That'll take you right to our website, eastswamp.org/give, and you can walk through the prompts there. Again, thank you for your generosity. There is a video right on that front home screen, the giving screen there, that shows how to set up the online giving if you want, or you can shoot back earlier in this live event to do that. Guys, we just pray that you came thirsty for the Lord. That was the prayer coming in, and I hope and pray that you're leaving with rivers of living water just flowing out of you, and going to flow out of you into anyone that you might interact with this week or this day, whether that's online or whether that's in your families or whether that's out as you're for a walk in your neighborhood. Continue to share the love and the light of Jesus at this time. We'll see you back here next Sunday, 9 a.m. for our next live event. It starts at 8:45 with our foyer time, so you can always jump into that if you like. And just really pray that you have an awesome week and that you have a great time following the Lord and walking with the Lord this week. So again, feel free to reach out anytime to the church. You can call the church office, or you can email the church office, or you can reach out to any one of us any way you can. Through that Next Step card is a great way to do that too. We just love to interact with you. So have an awesome day. We love you guys. And we will see you next week. God bless.